What's up, Wake? Oh, guys. You guys haven't even had Thanksgiving food yet, and you're already have no energy. I said, what's up, Wake? Guys, how we doing? You good? Yeah? Hey, raise your hand if you're on Thanksgiving break, which is probably everybody. When I was in college, we had to do Monday and Tuesday of class of Thanksgiving week. So I only had like 2 days off, which was a bummer. But guys, Thanksgiving's coming. Get excited. Football, food, being with family. But before we get there, we are continuing in our series, Habits of Grace. And in this series, we are going to look at specific practices that God has allowed us to partake in to know more about Him. And guys, I think in our hearts, sometimes we can do those thinking that it's going to give us acceptance with God. But what it really is going to do is it's for our good, that we know Him, love Him more, and for His glory. But before we jump in, I want to play a quick game with you guys, okay? You guys want to play a game?
Yes!
Okay, here's what we're going to do. On the screen, I'm going to put up four How do you know that? Oh, it's right there. I'm going to put up four fast food restaurants, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to rate them, all right? And you're going to do thumbs up or thumbs down. And here's the deal. It's not on the French fries or the burgers or the drinks. You're going to rate it off of customer service, okay? All right, all right? So here's the deal. Let's do our first one. In-N-Out Burger. Yeah? I see some mixed reviews. All right, hey, put your hands down. Put your hands down. Hey, I vote up. Man, people at In-N-Out are nice. You walk up there, you're like, hey, I want a double cheeseburger. They're like, absolutely. Is there anything else I can get for you? They're great people. I love In-N-Out. All right, hey, let's do the next one. Let's do the next one. Whataburger. Yeah. Hey, put your hands down. Listen. Shh. Bring it back. Hey, I love Whataburger's food, but one time I waited an hour and a half in the drive-thru. Literally an hour and a half. That's kind of tough. All right, let's get the next one up there. McDonald's. There's kind of, yeah. I see somebody was just like, I'm out. All right, hands down. All right, here's our last one. Chick-fil-A. See? Chick-fil-A, yeah. Hey, that's right. All right, y'all put your hands down. Hey, bring it back. I know that was fun. But here's why I put those up there. And why I ended on Chick-fil-A is because what's the phrase that my pleasure, right? Who else does that? Who else says my pleasure? I don't think any of that existed before Chick-fil-A. And I don't know about you guys. I think if I'm having a bad day and I walk into Chick-fil-A, immediately I have a smile on my face because I know that the service is going to be good. I know that the people love their job. And guys, the reason why I play that little game is today we're going to talk about service and why I think service is important and why it's a habit of grace. Because guys, we live in a world where we interact with tons of people. And the decisions that we make and the actions and the way that we interact with people has a huge impact. And guys, the Bible teaches us that we can have a positive impact on people around us by serving them, by choosing to serve them and care for them. And so today, we're going to look into the Bible, and we're going to look at the ultimate example, which is Jesus. That Jesus served us not only in his life of ministry, when he did miracles, when he healed other people, when he provided and led people, but ultimately, the ultimate act of service, him dying on the cross for us and for our sins. So if we want to follow Christ, we have to learn what it looks like to serve like Christ served us. All right, and today we're just going to look at two points All right, we're going to talk a little bit about what does it mean to serve, and then why is it important to serve? Why is serving important? And the scripture that we're going to be looking at today is John 13. So if you have your Bible, hey, open up your Bible to John 13. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. If you have a journal, pull your journal out. I know some of you guys like to take notes on your phone. And hey, that's great. If you're taking notes on your phone, that's great. But I would highly recommend you get an actual physical journal because, one, you'll remember it more, and you won't be distracted by other things on your phone. And so take notes as we go. But John 13, and before we start reading this passage, I want to talk a little bit about what's happening, okay? So the context of this passage is Jesus is entering Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, if you didn't know, is the capital of the nation of Israel. But it's not just like, you know, one odd time that Jesus like came to Jerusalem. Guys, this was towards the end of his life. And he was in the final stages of his life. He knew that looking forward, he was going to die on the cross. And so he's headed to Jerusalem, ultimately to his death. And Jesus is staying at this house, and he's waiting to have a meal with his disciples at this house. So he's sitting in this home, and he's waiting for his disciples to come and like join him in a meal. And an interesting thing about kind of the way that they moved about is it took forever. Like, guys, they didn't have cars. They walked. Everywhere they went, they walked. And they didn't have any paved roads or like the nice highways that we have. Like, they just walked through fields and through dirt roads and mud. And here's the biggest thing. They wore sandals. They didn't have nice shoes like us. And so they think about like it's not quite the same, but think about like a Birkenstock. Imagine walking around in Birkenstocks all day long. You know how nasty your feet would be? It'd be so gross. You're walking through the dirt, you're walking through the mud, through the field, and you get to a house and you take off your sandals, but your feet are gross. And so the way that the people like dealt with that, instead of just having mud all over their house, they had servants that would stay at these homes that would go and wash the feet of the people that would be guests at their home. And so the disciples come, they show up to the house. But here's the catch in this story. There wasn't a servant in this house. And so I would imagine if the disciples walked in, and they get in, and they take their sandals off, and their feet are all muddy, like grassy and all that, they're probably like, all right, who's going to wash my feet? And they're probably looking at each other like, Peter, you should have done this like 3 weeks ago. You wash my feet. And they start arguing or whatever. But they're trying to figure out who's going to wash their feet, because that was customary of that time, that they would wash their feet. And what we see in this story is that Jesus, guys, the Son of God, their teacher, the guy that they follow, decides to get up from where he was sitting and to come, grab a towel, put it over his shoulder, get on his knees, and started washing their feet. Do you know how gross that would be to wash people's feet? They've been walking all day, and now he's washing their feet, the Son of God. And so, guys, this is the story that we're going to talk about. And the verses that we're going to kind of look through is the back half of this story. And so Jesus had already washed their feet, and now he's kind of telling them and teaching them why he did what he did so that they could apply it to their life. And so John 13, 12, verses 12 through 15. So we're going to start in verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I had done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." So our first point that we talked about, what does it mean to serve? And the Bible's definition of serving means to be a servant, to go and serve other people, to be a servant. And the servants, guys, were not people of high class. They were kind of the low of the low. They had the worst job. And yet, that's what serving means, to be a servant. To kind of paint a picture for you guys,
I want to go back to when I was in middle school. And so when I was in middle school, I was involved in a student ministry at my church growing up. And I don't know if you guys have ever been on like a mission trip or maybe have done community service, but we would do mission trips and we would go and serve communities in Texas and other places in the United States. And I would go on these mission trips, and anytime we would like get ready to do a job, they'd be like, hey, I need somebody to like scoop all of the horse poop out of this like barn. Like, who wants to do it? I was always the first person to raise my hand. And you're probably like, oh, that's really admirable. That's really cool. But here's the catch. I did that because I was like, man, I want other people to see how hard I work. I want other people to see how well I serve. And then when I would go and do the jobs, I'd be looking around. I'd be like, all right, where's the youth pastor? Like, where are the girls watching me serve? And then when I started working and people started like going and doing other things and it was just me, I'd put my shovel down. I'd be like, what's the purpose of this? Like, nobody's watching me. And guys, the reason why I share that is because I don't think I understood what it meant to actually serve, to be a servant, because I was doing it for the wrong reasons. I was doing it because I wanted people to approve of me. I wanted the recognition. And guys, back in this day, servants, they got no recognition. Not once. They would do the hard tasks, the hard jobs, and never be thanked. And guys, that's what it means to be a servant. And you're probably sitting there thinking like, okay, how can I like apply this to my life? Like Jesus is saying, like wash other people's feet. Like, are you telling me I gotta go and like wash other people's feet? Like that seems pretty strange. And I think what's important is taking this in the context that it is, because Jesus was the master of taking life lessons and applying it to their day. And so if we were to take it and be like, okay, I gotta wash people's feet in 2022, that's not what Jesus was meaning. Jesus used it to apply it to his disciples' lives so that they'd be like, oh, I get it. Servants wash people's feet. I should be a servant. And so Jesus says in this scripture, in verse 12, he says, do you understand what I have done to you? Because I think Jesus was like, these guys don't understand. They're probably thinking, oh, I got to go wash people's feet. I got to continue to do all this. And Jesus says, do you understand? Because I don't think they understood the gravity of it. And guys, back in that day, a little bit more context. The disciples were part of the Jewish culture. And a little bit about the Jewish culture is that when they were growing up, that they would go and study the Bible. They would memorize the Bible. They would read it. They would spend all day long doing that. Just like you guys kind of go to school, that's what they would do. They'd go and study the Bible. And then the boys, when they kind of got about y'all's age, they would go and apply to be disciples of teachers of the law. So Jewish men that were higher up, they would go and apply to be disciples of them. And for the next several years, they literally, what a disciple is a follower. They would just follow the teacher everywhere. And so wherever the teacher went, if the teacher went and served an elderly woman and cared for her, the disciple would follow. And so that's what Jesus is saying is, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And so if Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and he says, you also ought to do that, that means follow me. And for those guys, they're like, oh, that makes sense. Like, he is my teacher. I need to follow the teacher. And so if Jesus gets down to serve, calls us to serve, and we should follow. And guys, I think this is also important. As you think about the disciples and who's sitting around that table, if you guys know that the story of the disciples, there's one disciple that betrayed Jesus, which was Judas. And imagine with me, guys, we're in the room, okay? We're in this story. We're in the room. Disciples sitting around the table, sitting at chairs, waiting for their feet to be washed. And Jesus is walking around one by one. And we're all watching it. We're all watching him get down. He washes Matthew's feet, and then he moves on to Peter's feet. And then he gets to the end of the table, and it's Judas. And we all see it. We all know it's happening. And we're like, man, like, Jesus, you're going to wash the guy's feet who's going to betray you and sell your life? Are you kidding me? And we know it. And Jesus knows it. And yet Jesus, this is crazy. Jesus decides that he's going to get down on his knees and wash the very person that sold him to the Romans to be killed. Jesus knew that all along. And guys, he's given us the ultimate example. And I don't know about you guys. I know for me, there are people who either say things that annoy me. I know in my past, like, there have been people that have picked on me. And I'm like, man, the thought of serving them, the thought of loving them, like, how could I ever do that? And guys, I hope you sit there and you're like, man, like, Jesus did it for the very guy who sent him to death. And so who is that for you? I'm like, man, it would be so hard to serve that person. Because that's who Jesus is calling us to serve. The people who don't want anything of us because God loves them. And God wants a relationship with them. And we are called to serve them. And guys, I think that there's something really valuable here that I don't want you guys to miss. Guys, that the God of the universe, who created all things, who literally could speak life into existence with his breath, literally spoke, let there be light, and there was light. And yet he decided that he wanted to get on his knees and wash the feet of his own followers, his own disciples, the guys who honestly, like, didn't have it together. They often did whatever they wanted to do. They were selfish. And yet Jesus got on his knees and he served them. He washed their feet. And guys, when it comes to service, there is always going to be a sacrifice. You're sacrificing your time, your energy, and sometimes it's your own money. And Jesus knew this. He knew that his time and his energy was going to be wasted. But he knew that it was worth it because he is a servant. And guys, I think our world often is the opposite. I think our world teaches us, hey, promote yourself. You get to number one. You be the best. And often we, like, want and expect others to do things for us. I know I do that in my own life. I want people to do things for me. But I think in the Bible, we see something totally different. We see a God who loves us, that has chose to serve, and then calls us to serve. And you're probably sitting there, okay, that sounds great. Like, that's a great Bible lesson, but, like, why would I serve? It seems a little boring. It just doesn't seem like something I ever want to do. And maybe you're even sitting there and you're like, okay, genuinely, I have no idea what it looks like to serve. And that's my second point, is why is it important to serve? And the passage we're going to look at is 1 Peter 4:10-11, okay? And so flip over to 1 Peter 4. It's also going to be on the screen. And it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the first two points that I just want to talk about when it's why is it important to serve is, one, know your gifts. Know your gifts and give God glory. And so for the first one, know your gifts. It's important for us to serve because it helps us discover our gifts. Truly, it says right there, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And guys, in middle school, I know that this is a pivotal time for y'all. You're trying to figure out, hey, who am I? What is my identity? Who do I want to be? I think it's important that we look to God. And us serving is understanding our gifts and understanding the way that God has uniquely designed us and created us. so that we could bring glory to him and to serve. And guys, here's the crazy thing. None of us are the same. We've all been given unique gifts. You probably are similar to other people, but there's only one you. And God has only made one you. And finding out what your gifts are is a part of that process. And some of you might be really good at encouraging other people. Maybe some of you are really good at teaching other people. Like, hey, if somebody has a tough time trying to do something, you're like, man, here's how you do it. And you're able to help people. And then also, some of you guys are probably really good at understanding how people feel. When you look at one of your friends and you know immediately, hey, this person is having a bad day. I can feel it. There's something in me. Guys, those are gifts that God has given us that we could use for his glory and to serve him. And guys, when you understand the way that you are wired, that's a part of your gifting. And when we begin to live into that reality, we truly can learn what it looks like to give God glory. And that's the second part, is giving God glory. And this verse, as we read it, at the beginning, it says, each has received a gift, not to serve themselves, right? But to serve one another. When we use our gifts to serve one another, we give glory to God because we're using the ways that he's created us to glorify him, to give praise to him. And guys, our decision to do that, our decision to serve one another, though sometimes it might be costly, it takes some of your time, your energy. Guys, the blessing that we get from serving other people is joy. And the reason why we get that joy is because we get a glimpse, a small, small glimpse of what God has done for us. And that the fact that he has served us, that he came and died for us. He laid his life for us. And we get a small glimpse of that. And that's the joy. That's part of living into the way that God has created us. That he created us to bring him glory, to give him glory. And guys, we get to see the lengths that God has gone for us when we serve. Because God laid everything down for you and for me. And guys, I think in our world, like if you flip to social media, Instagram, you know, Twitter, you got TikTok, you got Spotify, you know, you see the followers, you see the showing, the fans, the audiences, like people who are famous, who get all these people to follow them. And what if, let me just ask this, what if none of that mattered? Truly. At the end of the day, what if all of that platform, all of that, like, what if that never happened to you? What if none of that actually mattered? And I want to propose a different way of living your life. And that's living for the audience of one. Living for God. And not living for people following you or people looking at you and being like, I want to be like this person. But truly living your life for God. That when you, if you were to be up here on stage like I am right now, and you look out into the crowd, and there's one person, and it's God. What if we lived our life that way? Because often, and I can confess this sometimes, often we look to other things, and we're like, hey, if only I got this, or if only these people followed me, like that, I would have meaning. And guys, we're just going to continue to look for new things, because it's never going to satisfy us. And the only thing that satisfies us is our purpose, to know God and to give him glory. And guys, to give you a little bit more of a practical example, because it's right in front of you, look at your leaders. Look at them. They're in the crowd. Yeah. All right. Now everybody look back at me. Look back at me. That was a fun little game. Guys, shh. Hey, everybody look at me. Hey, your leaders, I don't know if you guys knew this. This is not their full-time job. They don't do this for a living. I know. Isn't that crazy? They have, okay, bring it back. Shh. Hey, bring it back. All right. Hey, this is not their full-time job. Guys, this is how they serve. And truly, if I had enough time, which obviously I don't, but if I had enough time, I think I could go around to most of the leaders in this room, especially the guys, and I could tell each of you a lot of the ways that they're gifted because they're all so different. And you probably see this even in your small group. When you show up to small group on Wednesday night, you're like, man, like, I think Dom is really good at, like, engaging people, making them feel included and welcomed. But other leaders are better at teaching the lesson and easier at, like, explaining things and taking hard concepts and simplifying them for me. Guys, that's because God uniquely designed your leaders, just like he uniquely designed y'all. And guys, they're here to serve because they love you. They want to invest into you. And that they have answered the call. They see the audience of one, and they see God, and they're like, man, I want to live my life for him, and I want to serve other people. So as I conclude, guys, think about that. They serve you. And what we talked about today is, what does serving mean? It means to be a servant, to put others' needs before your own, to go out of your way, sacrifice your time, your energy for others. And why is serving important? Well, one, Jesus set the example for us. And also in serving, we figure out who we are, our gifting, our wiring, so that we could ultimately give God glory. And guys, I touched on it, but Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And he did a lot of other amazing miracles, and he helped other people, he healed people. But it would be wrong if we didn't talk about the most important thing that he did, which is that Jesus lived a perfect life. He came, he died on the cross for your sins and my sins so that we could have a relationship with a perfect and holy God. And if you don't know what that looks like, if you've never made that decision, you could make that decision today because all of us fall short of God's glory. We make mistakes. We are far from him, and the only thing that's going to bridge that gap is a relationship with him and accepting that Jesus paid for our sins, that he was the ultimate servant. Even though there were moments where Jesus was like, he's the Son of God. He could have easily, like, been like, all right, I'm out. Like, as he was getting beaten to death, he could have been like, I'm out. But he was obedient, and he knew the call to give God glory for him was to die on the cross for you and for me. He did it because he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And guys, imagine this. We talked about how he went to Jerusalem. This is the final stages of his life. He had basically 1 month to live. And if you were sitting there and you're like, hey, you have 1 month to live, what would you do? Some of you would go, hey, I'm gonna buy a really nice car. I'm gonna go buy a bunch of food. Like, I'm gonna hang out with my family. I'm gonna go on a fun trip. Like, Jesus probably could have done some cool things. He's the Son of God. But instead, Jesus, in the last moments of his life, decided, hey, I'm going to wash other people's feet. I'm going to serve other people because I love them. And that's crazy. That's crazy. I want that to sink in. That's crazy that he would do that. And guys, back to me talking about Chick-fil-A, okay? We're bringing it back. Hey. I mean, it was unanimous. Whenever I was like, hey, Chick-fil-A, everybody was like, man, their service is amazing. I heard cheering. I heard thumbs were up. Like, y'all were going crazy. It's because it's memorable. You guys know that. The moment you think about Chick-fil-A, you think about their service. And hey, let me ask you guys a question. What if at school, people knew you because you served them, because you loved them, and people enjoyed being around you because you didn't always want what's best for you. You wanted what's best for other people, and you wanted to engage them. And guys, this is important. There are hurting people in our world all around us. The moment you walk out of church today, you're going to see somebody that's hurting. And there are people in your school. There are people on your sports teams. Maybe even in your own family who need Jesus, who need love. And often our world isn't giving anybody that love or that notice. So this is a call for you guys. And I want to challenge y'all this week, okay? I want to hear all about it at small group. I want to challenge you guys to serve someone. Just pick one person this week and serve them. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe you could do something without them asking you to do it. Maybe it's your siblings. Hey, this is a good one. Hey, maybe it's your siblings. Maybe you need to encourage your sibling. Be like, pick one thing to encourage them. Or let them do something that they want to do. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe you pray for your friends. Maybe you decide to think of what would my friends want to do today? What could I do to love them and care for them? And guys, here's a good one. And what I think is important, what I talked about with your leaders, like they serve here. Hey, maybe it's you serving here at Watermark. Guys, there are places for you to serve. And that's important to be a part of what God is doing in our church. You can serve here. You can serve at Watermark Kids. You can serve in the front lines. And then ultimately, guys, Wake. Like, this is y'all's home. You guys can create an environment where people are encouraged, where they feel included, where they feel a part of a family. Like, you guys can do that. You can help your leaders. You can ask us to help with tasks around at Wake to create a place where we love other people and we serve. We put others' interests above our own. And then, guys, also, you could go and serve your community. Hey, talk to your small group leaders. Maybe your small group decides, hey, we're going to go and do a food drive. Hey, maybe we're going to go and help with a homeless shelter. Maybe we're going to go and pick up trash somewhere. Maybe we're going to go and partner with a local partner that Watermark partners with. And start having those conversations of how to serve other people and put their interests above your own. And guys, I want to remind you, hey, serving brings joy. When we decide to put others before our own, it brings joy, and we're living into our purpose. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you for who you are and the fact that you love us so much that you decided to give your life for us, to serve us, to put us before yourself. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray for the students in this room, if they don't have a relationship with you, that they would start with that question of who are you? And what does it look like to have a relationship with you? And God, I pray for these students as they go throughout this week into Thanksgiving, that they would find ways to serve their families and their friends and continue to put others before themselves. So Lord, I pray for them as they go out, would you send them to be the people that you call them to be? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.